You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, here we go. It's the Copyright Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to another Cop Eye podcast. I'm Mick, joined just by Matthew today. So we're trialing our sexy little template out again. Now we've already got people in bloody late again. Cheers, Kev. Yeah, and David, he's just said he's just sent us a few pictures in the WhatsApp group there, and he's just trimming the sides. So that's why we're late. Sorry, fellas. But we're going to have a little chat about tomorrow's game against Fulham. Unfortunately, it's at home as well. But before we crack on with all that stuff, we're going to do our usual thing that we're going to start doing before every game is our 2-minute bottle question, just to kind of warm us up. And the question is from Niall Kelleher. I don't know if it's any relation to Quaveen. I'll have to ask him about that one. But he's asked us for our best ever goal. But we thought, let's try and keep it non-Liverpool. Otherwise, we'll be here for about 40 minutes just discussing that alone. So over to you, Matt. What's the best ever non-LFC goal you've ever seen?
Well, it was definitely not the best ever, but it meant a lot to me because I'm also a Bilbao fan. At the start of last season, they played Barca in the opening game of La Liga. And it was like the 91st minute. It was 0-0. And all of a sudden, this 37-year-old striker with a knee problem, Aduri, comes on and just overhead kicks it past Ter Stegen. And it was just like, whoa. You don't expect a 37-year-old with knee problems to be able to do that, but whoa, what goal? What are you?
We've just been discussing for about probably 10 minutes this alone. So let's go. Paul, afternoon, mate. We've got Dave in as well, and we've got Zane. Cheers for jumping on, guys. Mine's going to be, I've got a few because they're kind of Arsenal related. I don't know, just because back in the day, Arsenal had absolutely quality, but yeah. Henry's against United back in 2000 with the little flick and volley against Barthez, just unbelievable. And the other one's probably Bergkamp against Argentina in 1998. Ooh. When he was playing for Holland, which was just another one where just I love a bit of technique before a goal, and that those two are just pure filth. So are you going to go sticking with your one as the best you've ever seen?
I mean, I'm a big fan of build-up play, so sticking with the Arsenal theme, I like Wilshere's goal against Norwich, where him and Giroud were just playing street football with the Norwich defenders. And then all of a sudden he had it one-on-one and he just slots it away. I also like Xavi's goal against Madrid, where Iniesta plays him through. He sort of miscontrols it, bobbles all over the place, and he just chips Casillas. I just don't like Madrid, so that's always nice. I'm going to stick with Aluri because it meant a bit more to me. And he's 37 doing an overhead kick. That's obscene.
Yeah, that is obscene. That is. Paul's just came in here with a shout, Gaza, you're 96. Oh, that is kind of another goal that I like, the flick over. Was it Colin Hendry? Flicked it over his head with his right foot and then left foot volley. Fucking hell, what a goal.
I don't think my parents even thought about having me in Euro 96.
You were a distant memory. But we'll leave it there because we can do that fucking all day. We've got a few more. Let's get straight into the Fulham game because got loads of good comments here. Ben's came in saying, oh, fucking hell, shit this. We've got a fucking hell. Anyone looking forward to tomorrow's game? And then Dave's came in. We've got to be Fulham tomorrow. No excuses. Liverpool play tomorrow, mate. Oh, yeah. So Ben must have said the wrong thing. Matt, what? We haven't won at home in 7 league games now since 16th of December. So we're getting on to 3 months without a win at home. Our last one was, like I said, 16th December against Spurs. Lost our last 5 and then drew the 2 before that. That's surely, it's going to end sooner or later, isn't it? But is tomorrow going to be that day, do you reckon?
I want it to be, but I mean, Fulham are just going to come and follow the template of sitting back and hitting us on the counter. And unless the front 3 or front 4 of Jota starts, unless they start scoring, then unfortunately I can't see us winning because we're creating a lot. But what I've noticed with the, at least when we're creating chances, but then the final ball is lacking. It's not happening for us. We're getting to the penalty area with success. And then from there onwards, it's like they just forget how to play football. So unless they can figure that out, then I'm not all that confident. I'd like to be. You know, this is last season and I'm saying, yeah, we're going to win 4-0, 5-0, no problems. But the way things are going, I'm not sure. I think we just need a bubble, just a deflected goal, something just... So something that you look at and you go, oh, well, that's a bit harsh on Fulham, but to do us some good. And then maybe, and I think the key is not conceding first, because if we concede first, then you know full well they're going to have every single player behind the ball. And it's hard enough to break a team down when they're coming at us, let alone when everyone is in the box.
Yeah, and I think that was the case, wasn't it, in the last game? I think obviously at Craven Cottage back in December as well, where they scored a belter goal. Was it Dechord over Reed? And then we ended up getting, I think it was a Salah penalty towards the end of the game. So we can't afford to concede again first, especially when you look at Fulham's form. Like the last 5, they've won 2, drawn 3. And I've watched them quite a lot recently, and they do seem to be getting a lot better under Scott Parker. So, I mean, he was highly written off, wasn't he, at the beginning for just them being absolutely shit, to be honest. But they've started to kind of get a rhythm. And I mean, they've got a load of loan players. That doesn't happen overnight, but they've seemed to started to click recently. So, yeah, I mean, let's have a look through the comments here. We've got Zane. I feel like Hotter will get to Salah and Mane, one each, and we'll go on a win and run. I fucking hope so. I hope so. David said Hotter needs a full 90 minutes. What do you think on that, Matt? Do you think he will? I think he's got to start, especially after coming off the last game, and especially that we're not winning any games. I think we need people in the team who are going to be, who can take half chances and put the ball in the back of the net, don't we? Definitely, yeah. Especially the way we've been playing.
My fear is that he's not ready for 90 minutes, because you don't want, we've been saying since he got injured that we need Jota to come back, because if we're hopeless without him, or at least that's the excuse that we've been saying. But at the same time, we are like bereft of ideas going forward. So why not throw him in? Klopp's not the kind of guy to introduce a player as a substitute if he's not ready. So I'm going to take that, his little cameo against Chelsea, as a sign that, okay, just get your feet back on the pitch. And now next game, we're going to let you loose. I'll be scared that he's going to crop up with an injury again. But I mean, if he gets us winning, then I think it's worth the risk. Something has to change. And maybe him starting is that change.
Yeah, and it just feeds in nicely to what Kev just said there. Who do you drop if Hotter starts? That is a good question, to be honest, because a lot of shift lying Sadio Mane's way lately, which is, I don't know, it's harsh because he doesn't really have a dips in form, does he? Like he's prone to missing chances. Like I watched like a... So I was reminiscing last night, so I thought I'll watch like the road to the Champions League final when we beat Spurs, and the amount of chances like Mane missed just in those games alone, I was like, fucking hell. But when you create, like we've said on previous pods, we used to create loads, so those chances didn't really have that much of an effect because we'd end up scoring at least 2 or 3 anyway, regardless. But if you're not on song and you're not on form like Mane and Bobby are just dropping in and out of form a bit too easy. I mean, even Salah's like running his ass off, but he does tend to score, and obviously I think he's still top Premier League goal scorer, isn't he? But I don't think Mane is droppable, because I think even Mane at 60% is better than, you need him on the pitch just in case it's the game where he fires into life and scores, and then he gets a couple. You know, do you know what I mean? We can't. Mm-hmm. He's droppable. He should be droppable because we haven't got the squad depth. I don't think he is in a way. What do you think about that?
So I've been toying with this for a while because, since Jota made his comeback. And originally I was thinking, you know, we'd drop Jones, switch to a 4-2-3-1 and have the front four playing, as it were. But then if I was in charge, if I had to drop one of the front three, I'd drop Mane, but not because he's not playing well, just more for a psychological effect on Fulham, because they are going to sit back. I mean, that's what we're all expecting, right? So imagine 60 minutes into a game, 70 minutes into a game, it's still 0-0 and Fulham are thinking, oh, we've done pretty well here. And then you have the ability to bring on a fresh Sadio Mane as opposed to take off Mane and bring on a Shaq. Then you could have that advantage over Fulham. Whereas if you start the four of them and it's still 0-0, the player you're bringing on is a downgrade. So I wouldn't bench him because he's been shit. I'd bench him to give us a plan B.
Yeah, that's a good point, mate, actually. Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. It's a difficult one because, like you said, Hotter's not going to play 90, is he? Let's be honest. Like, it's not. I think he played, what did he get in the last game? About 15 or something, or 20, was it? I can't even remember.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so he's got that on the locker. We'll move back onto that in a bit, but we've got a few comments here. Let's just go through these. Rivalry aside, hello, fellas, how are you doing? Hot of the Slaughter scores tomorrow. I just wanted to get on to a comment from the very lovely Moxon. What is a Moxon? I know he's injured, but can we talk about Kabak? Obviously tough to adapt to a new league, especially with so much upheaval. But at the moment, for me, he's not justifying the 18 million fee in the summer. I mean, he's not going to play obviously tomorrow because he's injured. We don't know how long that he's going to be out for. It wasn't a surprise that we found out that he was injured. But what do you make of your lookalike, Matt? Ozan Kabak.
It's a tough league, especially when I suppose you are not a native speaker. And on top of that, you're in a position where you have to be vocal. I mean, you're the last line of defence. He's playing with players he's never played before. He's probably being... I know Nat Phillips has played really well. And I do think he's being outperformed by Nat Phillips. But he's 20, he's a kid. He is a kid. And he's been brought in and now everyone's looking at him like he has to be the solution and he needs a bit of time. We saw his potential against Leipzig and he played very well. And I wouldn't say he's played horribly against the teams in the Premier League. He's just needed time to adapt. Like, he had a very shaky start against Everton, but I feel he grew into the game. And then he got a bit better. And in the current market, I'd definitely say he's worth the 18 million. 18 million doesn't buy you piss all nowadays. So look, he's definitely got a lot of potential. Again, the promising signs of how easily he handled Leipzig were great and how he grew into Everton was great. But like I said, he's a kid. He's going to need time. And I don't think we should be getting on his case just yet.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because usually, if we'd sign someone like that, we'd have the usuals in place like Van Dijk and Gomez and Matip, and then they'd have to, the younger Kabak would have to then try and force his way into plans. And if he did come in, it would be alongside one of those three. And we know that how good those three are, especially if he played alongside Van Dijk. Anyone could look good alongside Van Dijk. He gives you that air of confidence and anything's possible. Like, you know that if you've got him next to you, there's no worries because he can bail you out of almost any situation. He's like a cheat code. So, I mean, him having to come in and do it on his, not on his own, but kind of be, a lot of pressure being thrown on his shoulders. I mean, he has got good pedigree playing in good leagues and whatever, but it's difficult to judge him too soon because we're going through a shit period. Like, even the likes of, like, Thiago's getting a load of grief, isn't he? Mane is. There's a lot of players getting a load of shit for, and quite rightly, because we're not winning games and we're not reacting to the problems that are coming up we're facing, which is what we're usually so good at. We're usually so good at a team poses a problem, we go, right, we know how to work around this. There's several ways to do it. We're going to do it this way, and then we'll find the right way, the right route eventually to beat that team. Whereas now we're just devoid of any of that because we haven't got the players, which is it's difficult to watch at times. And I mean, I'm hoping tomorrow can be kind of like a little bit of a kick up the arse to say, let's fucking start winning some games and getting back into it.
As well, for the lad, it's a completely different system to what he's used to. He's coming to a Liverpool side that's got a very high line, which I don't know why we're still playing this fucking high line, because we haven't got the defenders for it. But he's playing in a very high line against a team that usually has a lot of possession and presses high. And he's come from a team that has a low block and is just trying to keep people out. And now he's being asked to play make from the back. And we saw his passing range against Chelsea a bit. I was quite impressed with some of the balls that he played. But it's just a completely different prospect to what he's been used to for the last 2 or 3 years. It needs adapting. You have to adapt it. Look, Thiago's struggling. Yes, he's struggling because he hasn't got the players around him that he was supposed to have, but he's still struggling and he's world-class. We haven't seen Thiago at his level since he got injured because he hasn't had the players around him. So why should we expect the same or anything different from a 20-year-old who hasn't proven it yet? He came to Liverpool with a lot of hype because he has a lot of potential. He still has that potential, but he was never world-class when he joined. He has the potential to be world-class, but he has to have time and he has to have the right players around him. And right now, he's got, like the comments are saying, he's got a different player next to him every game. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, like Zane just said, can't be on Kabak's case. To be fair, he's thrown on a team with no rhythm. Every game, new partner, new team, what can you expect? Which what we just said, isn't it? But if he's not fit, then, I mean, Klopp said that Phillips and Davis will be back for this one. I don't even know if Ben Davis is fit or if he's not anymore. I can't figure it out because he's not in the squad very often. But Nat Phillips is going to be back. So it's probably going to be Nat Phillips and Fabinho, isn't it? I mean, I've seen a comment before from Zane again, just saying I think Fab will be on midfield, but he's gonna have to go very bold and go Phillips and Davis, isn't he? And then Fab in midfield in order to do that, because how else you do it?
I mean, look, I want Fab in the midfield, but at the moment we need to score a goal, so. For the purposes of just the chance of getting Naby Keita into that midfield alongside either Jones or Thiago, I just keep Fab at the back. I keep him at the back with Phillips because we defensively, we conceded chances, but all in all, we've been all right. We haven't got thrashed apart from City. We've been okay. It's going forward that we have an issue. So Wijnaldum, I think, is deputised quite well in the six. And Thiago and Jones have done all right creatively. But Naby Keita just, it's a different proposition in midfield. I don't think I've seen him have a bad game going forward for Liverpool. And I'd like to see him back, whatever it costs. I want Naby Keita in that starting 11.
Yeah, especially as he didn't come on last game, did he? So he's even more fresh. But what we've just been saying, well, what I've just been saying about Davis there, I said I don't know if he's fit or not. So Ben came in saying Davis is injured, I believe, and then saying, but he is fit. So I don't think anyone actually knows. But I don't know. We need to see what Davis is made of. He's been brought in. Obviously, he's not. He's got good championship pedigree. He's a good player. Like Preston fans raving about him. I know that's a different ball game completely to coming into the Premier League and trying to be a good player in the Premier League. But we don't know what he's made of yet. And if he's not been selected thus far, I don't know if that's due to injuries or I think Klopp said something about he's still learning the system or whatever. But he brought Kabak straight into the team, so I don't know if he's maybe just given Davis a little bit more time to adapt and not throwing him into the firing line. But in terms of, so you've just been touching on Naby Keita there, Matt. Who would you drop then for Naby Keita? Because Paul's just said Naby in for Jones. Who would you put? Let's just go through starting 11s because we're getting on to 20 minutes now. So let's pick your starting 11 for tomorrow.
All right, it'd be Ali, Trent, Robbo. It has to be Fabian Phillips. You don't risk Ben Davis in a match that you need to win. He's unproven, at least in the Premier League. I'd have GD in the six because I think Thiago is better going forward than in the six, and Bellegini going forward in the six, then Thiago, then Keita, Salah, Bobby, and Jota.
So you definitely benching Sadio.
Yeah, but not like I said before. It's not.
Yeah. Not like
it's to be able to bring on not Divock Origi in the 60th minute.
Yeah. No. I don't think I would be as bold. I think I'd pick exactly the same team, but I'd maybe put Hotter in for Bobby, especially because we're at home. I think having Hotter, Mane, and Salah, just like hopefully like some the red arrows of old, like us just attacking, having Hotter on the pitch from minute one. If we can, like I said, he's so good at just taking half chances. If we can get him a half chance and he takes it, he's the best person, in my opinion, at the moment to score those chances. So having him on the field is going to be key for me. So even if we have him on for 60 minutes, 70 minutes, and then someone comes on for him, that like Bobby maybe towards the end, instead of doing it, Bobby on and then Hotter changes for him. Bobby starts and Hotter replaces him. Do it the other way around and see what we can get out of Fulham, because Fulham are a good side, like they are, but they've got some good players. Like what's their centre back called again? They got him on loan. Is it Jakobsen, is it? What's his name?
Yeah,
Johnson, is it? I don't know, but what he's like 6'4" and he's like he looks like a really good defender. So I think he's the captain now as well. But
a lot of the comments are saying Fab in the six, and yeah, Fab is a world class number six. And if Kabak was fit, then I'd have Kabak and Phillips at centre back and move Fab into the midfield. And I'd play Davis and Phillips anyway. And I think it's a risk just to get Fab back in the midfield, but it's not going to happen. Jurgen Klopp is not going to push Fabinho into the six when his only options are a recently recovered Nat Phillips and, for all intents and purposes, a recently recovered and unproven Ben Davis.
I mean,
I know people are saying there's nothing to lose, but the current record of losses in Anfield is 5. I don't want to see that go to 6 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, I'm just playing the J role, devil's advocate. I can see both sides. You can see why at this point in time, what you've got, we haven't won at home in seven games. They're getting on for 3 months. So we are getting to the stage a little bit where we just need to go for it. But putting Ben Davis in might be a bit, I don't know. I thought the Sheffield United game, we all thought that was going to be the game where, right, these are bottom of the league, we're going to have all of the ball, just put him in and see what he's got. The fact that we didn't do that, I don't know if he was injured at the time or whatever, but I don't know at what stage we're going to see him. But Ben's just came in with, if Ben Davis is fit and he isn't going to start at home to Fulham so we can put Fab in midfield, then why the fuck did we sign him?
I was thinking about this the other day as well, you know, and I think that we signed Davis because we weren't sure we were going to get Quebec. We signed Davis to get a body in. Because look, the Quebec thing was rumoured all of January, and that Coletta Carr was rumoured quite a lot in January, but it was all rumours. Nothing had been agreed, and then all of a sudden we agree this fee with Preston, and we've got a centre back in. Cool. And then once he's in, then the rumours with Coletta Carr and the agreement with Marseille comes through, and then we're hearing that's fallen through. So going for Kabak and. At this point, I genuinely feel like Ben Davis has just been brought in case we couldn't get someone else. And now we're in the situation where we've got someone else and we've got Ben Davis as well. And he's just going to be, at least I think, he's just going to be like Reece Williams or like Nat Phillips. It's break glass in case of emergency. But I don't think we're going to see him unless we need to see him.
Yeah, it is a bit frustrating when you get a new player, though, and you haven't seen him yet. We got to see Kabak pretty straight away, didn't we? So I think we will see him at some point. I just don't know. Like, Klopp might surprise us and put him in tomorrow. It might actually happen, but I severely doubt it. It's bound to be Fab and Phillips at the back. It just is. It just is. Like, just prepare yourself for that, because that's definitely going to happen. Albeit, I would love to see Davis in there. But before we go on to score predictions, Kev put a comment in before about Robbo. do you get frustrated like I do constantly seeing him get to the final third only to see him passing it backwards most of the time? I think that's coincided with the kind of tweaking system to get Mane into the middle of the pitch a bit more, to get him more central. And Robbo's kind of got a free left wing to free roam to, like, free license to go wherever he wants on that left wing, and he hasn't got that option. Usually he bombs it, plays it into Mane, overlaps, or then Mane takes it in field and creates something, or Robbo gets the ball back. I think it's just kind of, we're trying new things at the moment, aren't we, to try and score goals, I think. So I think that's kind of stunted his creativity a little bit, but it's like he's still putting in all the work, and I think it's just the same for everyone. We're all putting in hard work, but we want to see results. We want to see goals starting to go in. I think that once that happens and we start winning a few games here and there, I mean, we did beat Sheffield United, obviously, but we've lost to Chelsea since. So if we like win a few games in a row, getting Hotter back into the team and Keita, it's surely only going to get better, isn't it, Matt? Surely.
Yeah, and with that comment, I'm torn between if it's frustrating or if it's not, because there was a game early in the season that we were just putting cross after cross after cross into the box. And the other centre-backs are so much taller. And it's just frustrating seeing it so easily dealt with. And I know exactly what he's talking about in his comment, because Robbo gets the ball, runs to the byline, stops it, and then instead of crossing it, he passes it back. And Robertson... have you seen the video of Ox doing that Soccer AM question thing? And he said that he's never seen a player so bad when the ball stopped. But Robertson has this amazing ability to pick someone out when he's running at full pelt. But have you noticed that when the ball stopped, like for a corner, for example, he rarely beats the first man? And I just feel like maybe it's something... Maybe he's in his head about it, that he doesn't want to put a ball in unless he's on the counter attack, because then he can give it that whip. Whereas when everyone's static, then he's like, well, look, I'm just going to play it safe and pass it back, because maybe he's doubting his own ability. Because look, Trent was doubting his ability a few weeks back. Maybe now Robertson is. Maybe he swings a ball in, we get a lucky header and it goes in and then it's back. But it's something needing to change. It is frustrating, but at the same time, seeing cross after cross after cross after cross to no end is also frustrating. So I don't think the players can win unless we get a few goals.
Yeah, and another thing I've noticed, I mean, it might just be I've only just noticed it recently because we're not winning games and whatever, but obviously Trent's right back, so he takes the corners on the right, and Robbo's left back, so he takes the corners on the left. But what I would like to see now and again to switch it up is to Trent and Robbo, just to... Like, you know, for an in-swinger, because obviously if a left foot is on the left and a right on the right, they're always going to be out-swingers, unless you fucking...
Roberto Carlos.
Or Cisse with the banana shot, and you're going outside the foot to curl corners in. But just, like, to give the likes of Phillips and the likes of Kabak, obviously not going to play tomorrow, but even Fabinho won a few headers against Chelsea, and I think he had at least two that went wide from corners, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So he's a threat from corners. Would you like to see a few more? I mean, I might be fucking completely grasping at straws here, like switch the corners over to get some in swingers to see if that changes anything. But I think I've noticed that.
To see if we score from the corner flag.
No, just to, like, because I know how, like, Trent's, how good he hits the ball is so good that if he had them on the left to kind of whip them in with speed, that might create more panic than it would a nice little outswinger where the keeper knows it's not going to come towards him.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why even I'm talking about that, because it's literally grasping at straws. But it's what you see.
I just want to touch up. I'm trying to find the comment. Someone asked if I'd swap out Jones for Keita. Paul asked, would I put Naby in for Jones? And obviously, I have put Naby in for Jones, but that's not because Jones has been performing badly. I think Jones has been one of our best players. But when we signed Naby Keita, I remember Klopp saying that, in his opinion, the two... best midfield, or two of the best midfielders in the world, were Thiago and Naby Keita, and now he's got both. So I want to see what Klopp can do with both on the pitch.
Yeah,
see if they can live up to that hype that he was given a few years back. Because we haven't seen, I don't think we've seen Naby Keita and Thiago play in the same 11. And if we have, well, I've forgotten, but I'd like to see it.
I think we all would. It's just, we're always worrying about Naby Keita that he's going to do a little 50 meter sprint and then just go down clutching his leg like we always expect him to. But I'm hoping this little period out of the team will have sorted those injuries a little bit. Kev's just came in with Fab needs to go a bit ahead. Just that the ball sliding off that ball dome. Fucking hell. I reckon he probably like does an Adama Traore and just puts a load of olive oil, body oil all over that before the game. Olive oil, yeah, I know. Like he's fucking season in his head. Ah, fucking hell. Right, we're getting on to half an hour here, Matt. We were going to do best Fulham memories. Have you got a quick one that we could do? Because we'll try to do this every preview.
The one that sticks out is Gerrard's through ball for Daniel Sturridge when we were going for the title. The outside of the boot. Was it Craven Cottage?
That was, yeah.
Yeah, that one. I know we ended up drawing that match, but just that assist on its own. Because Kolo Touré did that fucking stupid slice the ball into the back of his own net thing.
Right, yeah.
But Gerrard's assist in of itself was enough to make that brilliant.
Yeah, the one I'm thinking of is the last minute Gerrard penalty where he started doing that with his shirt and threw it. That was boss. But I was looking before
trick as well against Fulham. Wasn't that one of them?
What did you say? Sorry.
Did Maxi get a hat trick against Fulham as well?
I think he did, yeah. He got about four hat tricks in a week.
Back to back hat tricks or something like that.
Yeah, that was a mad time. Maxi Rodriguez, what a guy. Loved him. I was just going to see if anyone's got in the comments about any Fulham memories, but I think I was struggling to think of any because looking through the fixtures, the last 10 years, and it's like we've beat them loads of times. Best Fulham memory, signing Konchesky. Ben, fucking hell, why did you have to bring him into it? Talking about bald domes, he was just worth him. Fucking hell. Right, Matt, let's go for score predictions and then we'll get out of here. Seems it's getting on, so it's just gone past half 12.
1-0 win.
Are you sure?
I was tempted to say 0-0, but I'll go 1-0 win.
I would absolutely kill for a 1-0 win, you know. No wins at home for nearly 3 months in the league. I would kill for it.
If Jota starts, I'll go 3-1. And if he doesn't, I'll go 1-0.
Is Bobby on the field, though? Is he getting the hat-trick as well, or...?
Bobby
Dolan. Yeah, Kev's just said 3-0 and Paul said 3-0. Fucking hell, I wish I was as optimistic as you two fellas. Ben's just put optimistic. I've been optimistic so far. So 1-1 for me in the hopes of reverse psychology. Yeah. So if we're going with that, I'll go 2-0 Fulham. Just so Liverpool win 2-0. Just fucking win again, Liverpool. That's all we want. But we'll leave it there. Nice one, everyone, for the comments. That's been last today. There's been absolutely loads. We've had Kev saying we're late again. Jay was sorting his hair out from David. Nice one. Dave again. Paul, legend, Zane with loads of comments. Thank you. Ben. We had, who else did we have? We had Lauren. Sorry, I missed your comment there, Lauren. Talking about Conor McDermott for Cliftonville against Warren Point. Flicks it over a player and hits it over the keeper from at least 70 yards. He's a right back. Fucking hell. I need to have a look at that goal. We've got rivalry aside, fellas. Nice one for jumping in. And I think that was it. Oh, yeah, Moxon as well. Moxon came in with that, with the Quebec shout. But we'll leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock for the team news show where I think all four of us will be back on. Nat Phillips and James will be back with us tomorrow, or Jay. I don't know why I'm calling him by his full name. So we're back tomorrow at 1, and then we'll be back straight after for the match review. We'll see you in a bit. Sports Social Podcast Network.